Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of April 2nd, 2019. And this is episode number 389. And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And we are live on the Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com. And yeah, I've been gone. Been gone for a couple of weeks. Wait, you didn't notice? Well, that's not nice. I've been gone for a couple of weeks from the show. I took a cruise to the, I guess you'd call it the Lesser Antilles in the Caribbean. That's basically southeastern Caribbean, a little chain of islands out there like St. Lucia, Barbados, St. Martin, those places. And we flew to Puerto Rico. Didn't see any chupacabras. I looked, no chupacabras. Wanted to bring one home in my suitcase, but alas, I couldn't round one up. And then we came back a little late on Sunday night. It ended up being Monday morning, and I had to work on Monday morning. Just couldn't get the extra time off. I had to be back for a class I had to teach, so couldn't get that Monday off. A little tired, and was not going to do a show last week. Yeah, then, yesterday, I was cheering on my home team, the Cleveland Indians, at their home opener, and I didn't have a voice last night. It's clinging tonight, so hopefully I'll get through an hour show tonight without my voice going. You know, nobody ever screams at the, you know, like a soft ground out, but everyone gets mad over a strike or, you know, on their team, but they cheer for when it's on, you know, the opponent and, you know, home runs and hits, everybody goes crazy, but it's always the highs and lows that people get excited about, and plenty of highs and lows in that game yesterday. It was a squeaker. The Indians pull it out 5-3 in their home opener in a very chilly opening day, and the day prior, they had almost 5 inches of snow on the field. So yeah, it was a little chilly down there. It was low 40s during the game, so not good. But it was sunny, although I was in the shade. Yeah, love baseball. I talk a lot about it here on the show, even though this is the Paranormal News Insider. And yeah, when I was out on a cruise, I did visit some places that were built as far back as the 1500s. I did go into a couple of museums. I love shipwrecks. So I went into a shipwreck museum where they had some pieces and parts from ships that dated back about to the mid-1500s. Most of them were in the 1800s, but it's good to be around history. And you always get that feeling. You always wonder if there's something lurking around you. Also visited a really cool place, and I want to mention this because this guy was super, super nice. Out in St. Martin, there's a guy who actually was one of the people who helped create Yoda. Yes, Yoda, and he's out in Phillipsburg, St. Martin. Which is weird. Why would somebody be out in St. Martin? But anyway, he, at the height of his career, he's a costume designer, prop designer, makeup, prosthetic, all those things, creating these kinds of animatronic type things. And obviously, well, most of that's gone to the wayside with CGI. But Nick Maley, who worked on Yoda, worked on a couple of Star Wars movies. He worked on Krull. He worked on Highlander, which is one of my favorite movies. Whole list of science fiction movies. Has a museum out there in St. Martin. And if you love that kind of genre and you're ever on vacation in St. Martin, look up the Yoda guy. It's definitely worth it. he's a great guy, and it's a nice break from all the jewelry stores and just junk that you see down there. You get kind of bored with seeing the same stuff on every island, every stop. But the Yoda guy, definitely worth it down there. Pretty cool stuff. If you love science fiction movies, the old school stuff. Oh, they also had parts of the costume used in Harry and the Hendersons, which is a paranormal thing here. Very good time on vacation and yesterday at the Indians game. But we are back, and we're going to slide in the saddle a little slowly, partially because yesterday was April Fool's Day. We're going to spend a little time talking about April Fool's Day, and it seems like I talk a little bit more about it every year because it does kind of tie in with the paranormal. There's a lot of weird stuff that comes out that fools a lot of people. Not that it doesn't the other 364 days out of the year. But first, I want to mention that today is a sad day. Yes, it's a very sad day. We lost something very special today. Maybe you didn't notice. It's not every day that we lose a social media platform. It's not every day that we put one to rest. And yes, today, Google Plus, affectionately known as G Plus, was officially turned off today. Very sad day. Very sad. Turned off to personal and consumer accounts. It's gone. It's over. I was on there this morning posting some stuff on there, and poof. Poof. It just disappeared. Google Plus was born back on June 28th, 2011. That's pretty old. And looking at my website here, I'm going to have to update some links, I see. And yeah, it's gone. So I know a lot of people are still posting stuff on there, paranormal-wise. I know I got some stuff that I didn't realize wasn't posting. I went on there a couple of weeks ago to look, and I was like, well, it's not posting, but I know it's gonna go away soon, so I'm not even going to bother fixing it or updating it. It's just, I'm going to let it die. But it's kind of sad in a way, and throw a picture there in the chat room. It's official. June 28, 2011, and died today, April 2nd, 2019. It's sad. I mean, I really think we should. Let's have... I shared the graphic of the Google Plus death notice in the chat room, and I'd like to ask everyone around the world to join me in a moment of silence. Wait, Google Plus already did that for almost 8 years. I've been pretty silent. Yes, it was a sad jab at Google Plus. It's, you know, it kind of just never took off. I thought it was really cool, but it just never took off. I mean, for a lot of people, they didn't even realize it was gone or going away, or that it was still around. And I think this loss is probably easier than when MySpace died. Wait, it's still around? No, not that MySpace. The one with all the bands? No, people used to have like glittery angels and all kinds of fancy graphics and the top eight. Ah, you guys are too young for that. You don't remember that. Ah, MySpace. Yes, MySpace was the most dominant social media platform out there. Long before, well, I shouldn't say not too long before Facebook took over. Facebook took over, and now, you know, Twitter tried, but it's kind of a different style of platform. And now, I'd really say Instagram has taken over everything. I know I'm spending more and more time there, and I see a lot of people on there as well. Anyway, we've got a show to do. Goodbye, Google Plus, and hello, April Fool's Day. Yes, April Fool's Day was yesterday, the only day where people are critical of news stories. And we'll talk about some of the stuff that happened yesterday. My goodness, I have never seen so much stuff on April Fool's Day. And I spent, you know, a good chunk of my day away from the computer. Out and around real people, Although I did post some stuff from iHeartRadio. I thought that was cool. Meeting some people from iHeartRadio. I was like, hey, I've got a podcast on there. iHeartRadio. Thanks, guys. But man, there was a ton of stories just every 5 seconds coming off the wire for April Fool's Day. But today we're also going to talk, yes, a little bit of paranormal news. Nothing really too deep. It's going to be a kind of a lighthearted night. We're going to talk about Bigfoot seen and photographed in Washington State. It's true. I saw the pictures myself. A blog shares the best beasts in each U.S. state. I got some photos. Well, a photo from that. We'll also talk California UFO witnessed by dozens. And we'll also talk MUFON sighting statistics for February. I know I'm behind. Well, they're behind. Still waiting on, well, March is would be out for MUFON members and those on the upper echelon of the organization, but I've not yet received that information. As always, I want to mention that check out, if you love paranormal conferences and conventions, I put together a neat little list on the website at paranewsinsider.com. You can check it out and see if there's one in your neck of the woods. Highly enjoy these events, and I think that some people are a little too critical of these things, and no two are ever the same. Some are good, and some are not so good, and I've been to both in varying capacities. I do my best as a speaker and a presenter, and I don't put myself in a position of being at one where I don't think it's going to be successful. And a successful one doesn't mean that 5 million people show up. I've been to ones where there's only been 20 people, but they were very successful. It doesn't matter how many people you have. It matters how you reach the people and what kind of content you're talking about. And if people are learning from each other and not fighting in the aisles or staying out at the hotel till 4 a.m. getting drunk before the show. Anyway, that's a different story for a different time. So yes, insider at paranewsinsider.com. If you have an event that's not on that list that you'd like me to talk about, you want to see it on the website, let me know. I'll put it on there. And a couple I want to mention, one in particular, is taking place on June 21st. It's called the Summer Haunt Fest, June 21st in Cayuga, Indiana, at the Willows Weep House. And I haven't heard much about this lately. I don't know if there's supposed to be a VIP ghost hunt with John Zaffis, David Weatherly, Dave Spinks, and other speakers. And there was only 20 tickets to that. Not sure if that's sold out. There is a Facebook events page up for that, for the Summer Haunt Fest. If you're anywhere on the western line there of Indiana, I mean, everywhere. You can reach anywhere in Indiana in 2 hours drive. It's pretty much like Texas, at least from my experience of spending a lot of time in Indiana. Tickets can be bought through PayPal by visiting the Facebook event site for Summer Haunt Fest 2019. And be sure to print out that receipt, as that will be your ticket. And last I heard, there was vendor spots available, but there may not be at this point. Those things usually go pretty quick. So again, head over to the event site on Facebook for the Summer Haunt Fest 2019 in Cayuga, Indiana. And coming up for me, I've got a couple of events that are coming up pretty quick. April 19th, I'll be on Spaced Out Radio with host Dave Scott. I've got to get a nap before that show because it's going to be 9 p.m. Pacific time, which puts that at, I believe, midnight my time. That's going to be fun. But it's going to be fun. It will be fun. So that's technically when it becomes Saturday, April 20th, but have to stay up late for that one. May 3rd and 4th, I'll be at the Haunted Heights Paracon 2019 in Houghton Lake, Michigan. And they're going to be talking UFOs and UFO research methods. It's going to be it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting because This is primarily a ghost event. There's already one speaker, at least one speaker doing cryptid. So I opted to do UFO stuff. And I'm going to do my best to kind of tie in UFO research and how it relates to ghost research. Kind of compare and contrast the two, and shockingly how much better it is to investigate UFOs than ghosts. And if you want to know what I mean by that, I'll see you there. But the big event for me is at the, not that I don't care about the Haunted Heights Paracon 2019. It's going to be fun. I've never been there before. But what I'm really looking forward to, because of all the people that are going to go, I'm really looking forward to seeing some old friends at this event, and hopefully making some new ones. You know how that works. The PA Bigfoot Camping Adventure, taking place May 31st through June 2nd, 2019, at the Benner's Meadow Run Campground in Farmington, Pennsylvania. Tickets are just about gone. Just about gone. So if you were thinking of going, you better get them now, because it's going to be over. It's going to be done. Sold out. There's going to be so many people at this thing. It's going to be a blast. A big blast. Lots of great people going to be there. Big stars. Also some really, really good speakers. Oh yeah, including myself. 12 and a half speakers. Workshop hosts. So in between speakers, you're going to have workshops. Going to show you how to make casting prints and doing other things, and out for different types of things you would need to be able to go out there and look for Bigfoot or other cryptid creatures. You also want to get some lodging for the event. Lodging is not included in your ticket price, so it's a couple of different things there. But again, so many great speakers. There's going to be some big-name people that are going to be there. Ken Gerhard, Dr. Jeff Meldrum, Cliff Berrickman. I was trying to think of the guys, the Mountain Monsters guys, the Appalachian Investigators of Mysterious Sightings, Ames. Yes, I think that's right. The Mountain Monsters Show. Bill Brock, host of Monsters Underground, will also be there. And Stacy Brown Jr. I think I got them all in. That's a pretty good memory. I think I've said it 100 times by now. But going to be a great event. Looking forward to that. Myself and... gosh, so many people are going to be there. Like I said, 12 and a half speakers, because Jay Bachochin, who's going to be debuting his movie about his biography, Finding Jay, is going to debut. I'm excited about that. Well, he's going to have his son, Blake, so he's the half speaker. But so many other exciting people. Oh, David Weatherly, that's who I was going to mention. So I mentioned David Weatherly being at a different event. He's going to be there as well. Some good friends, Ron Murphy, Steve Cole, Dave Dragason, Rick Fisher, Stan Gordon. I could go on and on. It's going to be a good time. Looking forward to that. And then, I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe, she's probably Big Cats again. I don't know. We'll see. Be a last-minute decision. I'll figure it out the week before. Yeah, no Nick Redfern. I don't know why. He couldn't come. It's too far from Texas, I suppose. Maybe next year we'll get Nick Redford down there. June 24th, I'm going to be talking about UFOs at the Pickaway County Public Library. And I'm also just really today put together my date for the Westerville Public Library. I'm excited about that. That is officially 11 straight years at the same library. And my 12th time overall talking there. That's unheard of, to go to the same library that many times in a row. So I'm really excited about that event, and more information as we get closer to October. Yeah, well, today is April 2nd, and the news is quieting down now. If you're not aware, you weren't paying attention, yesterday was April Fool's Day. It was April 1st, that time of the year when everyone, well, I shouldn't say everyone, nearly everyone, is speculative about what's in the news, and I'm amazed at what some people believe you know, that's passed around as news the rest of the year. But everyone's a little vigilant and expecting everything to be a complete joke on April 1st. Well, it's no joke that many companies use this day to come up with some zany products. Some of these are actually really good, and I think really what they're trying to do, some of these companies, I really think that they want to make some of this stuff, and they just want to gauge public opinion. I really do, because some of these are actually really good. And of course, they get free publicity, because people are going to write about them. People are going to talk about them, like this show here. But sometimes these jokes go a little too far. I mean, ask Justin Bieber. And one thing I promised 10 years ago, when I started this radio show over 10 years ago, was that I would never mention Justin Bieber. And I think this is the second time I have. But yeah, Justin Bieber, well, he dropped the ball yesterday on April Fool's Day. He posted a picture of an ultrasound that had like a baby. You know, those ultrasounds that you do. Well, you don't do them. The doctor does it. With no other explanation, he just posted it on Instagram, not G+, prompting many people to think that he and his wife, Haley Baldwin, were expecting. I mean, first of all, I didn't know he was married. Is he old enough to be married? He's only like 14. That's news to me. Well, Bieber then posted another picture showing his wife in what appears to be a hospital bed surrounded by what seems to be medical-type people. Oh, they got gloves and stuff. They look official. They got the blue gloves on. That's a doctor to me. It's the last time I was in the alley. With one of them with a hand on her slightly exposed stomach. And Justin wrote along with this picture, quote, "If you thought it was April Fool's," unquote. And he brilliantly, he didn't type out you, you know, Y-O-U. He just put a capital U. I might as well just take it out of the dictionary at this point. Well, not long after, he posted another photograph of an ultrasound. But this one had a puppy. A puppy photoshopped into it. Black and white puppy. Well, nearly 6 million people liked that first post, and nearly 7 million people liked the second. But only 4.4 million liked the puppy post. Still a lot of likes. That's more likes than I've probably gotten with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, G+, and MySpace all combined. But that's cool. I'm not Justin Bieber. I don't have my own song. Not everyone was happy, though, as some felt this was making fun of pregnancy. And many people were mad that April Fool's Day, and this is true, it's kind of stupid. It is stupid. April Fool's Day is one of those days where a lot of people put out fake pregnancy announcements. It's just, it's uncalled for. Everyone knows it's April Fool's Day. Nobody takes you seriously. Some of these people, they don't take them seriously anyway. The other 364 days out of the year. And as I mentioned, many companies jump on this day to announce fake products. This is the part that I love. I think I love the fake product announcements on April Fool's Day more than I like Super Bowl commercials. I think it's official. Super Bowl commercials used to be one of my favorite things. But now I think it's been replaced by the April Fool's Day products. Really. No fooling. So T-Mobile announced the Phone Booth E. The Phone Booth E, a soundproof phone booth for those who want peace and quiet while using their mobile device. Roku, you know what a Roku is, you know, streaming thing that you watch stuff on your TV, right? They announced a remote control designed for dogs. Yes, a remote control designed especially for dogs and their little paws, which is called, wait for it, it's a remote control for dogs, right? And it's called Press Pause. Get it? Pause? paws. Dogs have paws and you pause it. Never mind. For real. Yeah, I said I liked the stuff. I didn't say it was funny or good. Anyway, Petco announced Forever Weddings, a full service for dog marriages. I'm not sure if that's legal in 50 states. I got a Pizza Hut email yesterday, reminded me, that said that they were creating a Pizza Mutt. I think it stood for Mini Urban Transportation Team, which is dogs that deliver pizzas strapped to their back. Well, it's not strapped to their back. It's in like those red hot case things. Yeah, probably don't want to order a... Probably don't want any kind of meat products on that pizza because it might not make it to your doorstep. Well, at least they said it was a joke in their email, so I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. The food industry, they've always dipped their toes into uncharted waters on April Fool's Day. Some of them are just really disgusting. I won't even talk about the gums that were mentioned. I think one was garlic. I said I wasn't going to mention it, but I did. Well, McDonald's announced shake sauce, milkshake dipping sauce for your chicken, McNuggets, and whatever else you want to put in there, your French fries. People do that. People do that. They're going to have a variety of flavors. And apparently a lot of people thought it was real. They had to put a disclaimer up on Twitter today. Actually, I think late last night they had to put something up because a lot of people were really wondering, when can I find that in my local McDonald's? It's not on my app. I can't find it. Yeah, I don't know. Well, in Australia, McDonald's was in a bit of a pickle. They got a little carried away. They got in trouble. Some people were really actually mad about this. Yes, a pickle, because they announced the McPickle. A double-decker burger without the beef and loaded with pickles. Apparently, people liked the idea. I don't even like pickles. I think that's gross. Be like having a... Yeah, never mind. Dunkin'. Doesn't sound right, just saying Dunkin'. Formerly Dunkin' Donuts. They don't call themselves Dunkin' Donuts anymore. I don't know why. The double D is now just the single D. They announced the Super Dough Holder. Very impressive. I think I would buy this. It's a pair of giant donuts where your drink sits inside the donuts. Very impressive. I know, that's crazy. People thought that was crazy. But Peeps flavored coffee, that's actually a real thing. I don't get it. I don't get that at all. That sounds like an April Fool's Day joke to me. Burger King. This is by far the best video that you're going to find out there. Google this one. Burger King announced the Impossible Whopper, made solely from plants, not beef. And yeah, you want to get this commercial. It's bleeping hilarious. They do. They actually swear in this. They bleep it out. But it's pretty darn close. It's pretty funny. It's almost like the Kmart ads from a few years ago. The Ship My Pants commercials. It's kind of like that, but they bleep stuff out. It's pretty funny. The burger chain Fat Burger announced they were rebranding as Skinny Burger. Does anybody eat Fat Burger anymore? I don't even think they're still around. I don't know what's going on. The lamest one of all the food ones was Red Lobster. And when I heard Red Lobster did a April Fool's Day joke, I wondered. What could this be? My curiosity was piqued. What could Red Lobster possibly come up with? Well, they did it. They announced an eco-friendly move to get rid of straws in their restaurants by replacing them with licorice. Replacing them with licorice. I didn't make that up. That's real. You can look it up yourself. I agree with you. That's horrible. I'm throwing that one away. That's gone. Peace out. Licorice. Dippin' Dots. Yes, Dippin' Dots. You know that stuff. Well, they announced a line of deodorant. Deodorant. From Dippin' Dots. I don't get it. I don't know. I didn't come up with that one either. Hasbro announced, officially announced, they got rid of Mr. Potato Head. Yes, the iconic Mr. Potato Head is gone. Instead, they now have Mr. Avo Head. An avocado. His hipster companion. Okay, maybe some of these are really horrible. You know, they sounded funny until I actually started saying these out loud. They sounded funnier in my head. Redbox. You know Redbox. Yeah, they're still around. They're going to drop a kiosk at your house now. They can do that. But they're going to do it by drone. I saw pictures. I know, these are bad. The sports world got in on the act this year. The Chicago Bears, they announced that they're going to be using 3-digit numbers next year on their uniforms. Some of those guys are big enough that it would work. Really, it would. Tom Brady, quarterback, created a Twitter account. This guy's never on social media. Probably better that way. Well, he created a Twitter account just to joke that he was retiring. Not too many people found that funny, including the Patriots organization. They were a little concerned about that. The minor league baseball team, Omaha Storm Chasers, which makes sense, they announced that by the end of June, they're going to be naming themselves the Omaha Potholes. Yeah, I agree. That's enough of that. Let's move away from that. There's probably another 100 or so stories, at least, that came out yesterday for some of these products, some of these corporations, companies, some of them I never even heard of before. All about that funny, pretty much. Anyway, there's some paranormal-related April Fool's Day jokes I see here. So we have an announcement. Usually every year that Bigfoot was found or injured somebody, was seen or captured, parts, body flying. There's always something weird about Bigfoot every year. And I'll tell you what, this year, there was a couple of those. I'll talk about that in a second. But this one, there's actually a story that came out. I'm not even sure if it's real or not. I'm not even sure if it's a April Fool's Day joke or if it's something real. I'm confused because there's been no announcement either way about this, and it looks really legitimate. It's really impressive, and it's that a zip line is going to open up this summer across Loch Ness. It's actually a really cool idea, and I can see it happening. I mean, if you've ever been, if you've ever seen, I know they run commercials for it on different television networks for Royal Caribbean. They have a private island that's actually connected to the country of Haiti. It's the only place, the only cruise line you can go to Haiti on that I know of. And it's nestled in the north, I think northeast section of, or north northwest section of Haiti, I believe. And it's beautiful there. I've been there once. It's gorgeous. But they had one of the largest zip lines in the world that goes off of a mountain across the halfway across this beach. It's really long, super long. So I've seen that kind of stuff before. So it wouldn't amaze me to see, well, it would amaze me to see that, and would really make me want to definitely go out to Loch Ness and take part in that. But I think it's a April Fool's Day joke. That's why I'm putting it here. If I'm wrong, well, we'll find out. And this one, this kind of irritates me here. There's a hoax story going around, and it actually goes back to February of this year. It's making rounds again. It was pushed out by a lot of people yesterday and popped into my news feed a couple of times. A couple of people asked me about it. They were pretty sure. They said it was an April Fool's Day joke. I'm like, no, it's actually a February 19th joke. It goes back from way back in February something, or I don't know if it was 19th, but it was middle of February. So the story goes that purportedly a couple from Ohio were having, intercourse type things, and they were wearing Bigfoot costumes. When they were, that story wasn't good enough, they were accidentally shot by a hunter. Yes. Well, that's not true. Didn't happen. Yeah. The website that it originated on is one of those that you should really know about. It's called worldnewsdailyreport.com. And it's one of those fake news websites where people can create their own news reports or press releases. And a lot of people take advantage of that and come up with stupid things like that, that people actually believe. People actually thought this was real. They're like, hey, Brian, you live in Ohio. Did this really happen? No. No, it didn't. No, it did not. Another cutesy wootsy one. A UFO crash was reported on a United Kingdom website, and there was pictures to prove it. It's a cute little UFO crash. It was probably 3 feet in diameter. There's like little springs coming off of it, embedded into the ground. It was kind of, it was funny. It was like your regular type of UFO, but extremely small. It was cute. Post a picture of that in the chat room there. So if you're in the chat room, yeah, you get these extra bonuses. These pictures and links and all this other fun stuff. So I urge you to join us in the chat room each and every week. And you can get the link to that if you follow us on Facebook or Twitter. That is generally put out Tuesday by my producer, my boss. He'll put that out, and then I usually share that through my social media outlets as well. And you can join us in the chat room. But I get it. You know, we all listen to shows at different times. We all have our ways of listening to things. And continue. One last story here on the paranormal for April Fool's Day. The only other one that I could find, there was an arrest report. And here it is. An arrest report was filed in Adams, Massachusetts yesterday as police apparently caught a 6'9", 400-pound hairy man who goes by the name of Bigfoot, or a.k.a. Sasquatch or Yeti. Oh, that was good, a.k.a. They are purportedly holding him until the U.S. Marshals come and pick him up. That was, Adams, Massachusetts. Wow, that was really good, guys. Really original. I think Bigfoot gets arrested or captured every year on April 1st. So I hope that when we actually do, if we ever do, actually ever find Bigfoot, it does not happen on April 1st. Because no one's going to believe it. And again, people tend to be very skeptical of the news on April 1st. And I really wish everyone would have that same kind of mentality the other 364 days of the year. Except for next year. You got to be that way 366 days. Anyway, we got some other paranormal news to talk about tonight. Cryptid news. Washington State. That's always been one of the top states for Bigfoot sightings, Bigfoot reports. And Bigfoot was recently seen by a number of people. And there's some pretty remarkable photos of the creature as well. And they're not blurry. Well, the area is Whidbey Island. And Whidbey Island is a 55-mile-long island in the Puget Sound area just north of Seattle. The island is connected to the mainland by a bridge on the northern part of the island and is accessible to the south by ferry. And it's beautiful. I actually want to move there. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So how would a Bigfoot make it to an island like this? Yeah, believe me, they freaked out when they found two deer on that island. So how would Bigfoot make it there? Well, if you haven't guessed, this isn't a real Bigfoot, but a person in a costume trying to get attention by wearing a suit and making unscheduled personal appearances. Well, the idea behind these sightings is to spread the message of the impact of one's carbon footprint. That is, our daily decisions on what we buy and use that affect the output of greenhouse gases that affect the environment. No, this isn't a global warming kind of thing. This is just a story. I thought it was humorous, cute, whatever. And what a better way to talk about the environment and our individual carbon footprint than by using Bigfoot. You get it? Bigfoot, carbon footprint, the environment, Bigfoot. Anyway, the idea is called Taming Bigfoot and is a 3-month-long competition between companies and individuals to challenge them to cut down their individual carbon footprint, as well as spread awareness as to how to do that. There's even an app for that, if you're interested. You know, if Bigfoot is discovered, the first thing I recommend is hiring an agent, because that guy is going to get paid big time from all these car commercials and personal appearances and all these things. Oh, yeah. Anyway, let me throw the link to that in the chat room so you guys can check that out. And yeah, Bigfoot appearances. There was a story, you know, I'm going to cover that next week on the Loch Ness Monster. We'll talk about that next week. Yep, Rick Dyer. Yeah, we'll talk about Loch Ness Monster next week. So the most famous monster in your state, what is it? Well, it depends on what state you live in, I guess. Well, a recent blog entry by Barbara Davidson covers what she feels is the most popular beast in every U.S. state. All 50 states are represented. In addition to these short segments about each creature, it's a really nice rendering of these creatures in all their colorful glory. Really, really great job, actually. Even if they are mythical. That's really, really good job on these. I'm going to post the profile picture of all of these. So there's they have the individual ones on each post, but they put together a whole map of the U.S. It's a really impressive job. I don't know who the artist was, but it's just phenomenal what this thing looks like. And very impressed, especially by somebody who wrote this article. Not really a cryptozoologist. Not really anybody who's into this stuff, from what I understand. It's not loading. Oh, well, it's not loading, so my fault. So this blog post showed up in one of the least likeliest corners of the internet. Kind of weird where this showed up at. Actually, from a really weird website. And it was CashNet USA. So CashNet USA is an online cash lending site. I thought it was probably not safe to click on that, but I did anyway. And wasn't bad. It was actually really impressive. I was kind of blown away, and I actually found it because a couple of other states had posted their individual things, and I ended up coming back to this original post. And most of the entries are either Bigfoot-type creatures or are lake and sea monsters, with kind of just enough sprinkling of zany ones in between to make it a really good page-turner or mouse-turner or maybe a thumb-flicker. I don't know how you say that anymore in 2019. The article is intended to be what is called a bestiary, which is described on the blog as a catalog of animals, birds, or other natural or imaginary phenomena, intended not as a textbook, but as an inspirational and often scientifically dubious compendium. A lot of big words for a book of zany creatures, a bestiary. Some of the recognizable creatures include, well, Bigfoot-related ones, like I mentioned, like the Fauk monster of Arkansas, which is perfect, you know, the first one there in the alphabet, and she did it alphabetically, of course. And as soon as I saw that one, I was like, okay, good call, good call. And somebody in the chat room there mentioned Skunk Ape, of course. Skunk Ape was the official creature of Florida. And they had the Tennessee Wild Man of, well, where else? Tennessee. And Bigfoot itself from the state of Washington. Good job there. There are other expected creatures such as the Chupacabra from Texas. Really, he's from Puerto Rico, which is, you know, U.S.-owned for now territory. And the water-based creature Altamaha Ha of Georgia, which has come up in the news here on the Paranormal News Insider in the last year or so. You may not have heard of it, but it's pretty popular down in it. If you've ever been to Georgia, you've probably seen stuff with that. Chessie of Maryland. Of course, the Dover Demon of Massachusetts, the Dogman of Michigan, the Wendigo of Minnesota, Momo the Monster of Missouri, Tahoe Tessie, Nevada, the Jersey Devil of New Jersey, who spawned a hockey team. Literally spawned a hockey team. Champ of New York, the Cat-like Beast, Beast of Bladenboro of North Carolina, and the Loveland Frog of Ohio. I wasn't sure at first, but I think it's a good choice. Probably not the most well-known creature, but Ohio shares a lot of other creatures with other states. So pretty good one, I thought. And, of course, the Mothman of West Virginia. And let's see, Beast of Bray Road in Wisconsin. Another good choice there. There are also some creatures listed that I would think of being more obscure or alien or ghost-related, such as the Dark Watchers of California, the Enfield Horror of Illinois, the Kelly Little Green Men, or the what's known as the Hopkinsville Goblins of Kentucky, the Pascagoula River Aliens of Mississippi, and the Vampire Mercy Brown of Rhode Island. Little state. It packs a big punch. All in all, it's a great collection of creatures and showcases many well-known and many obscure creatures as well. So I think they really did a fantastic job putting that together. And I'm not sure why my picture didn't show up here. It's not that big. Let's see. I'm going to try this one more time. Maybe it's too big. Really good collection. It's really seen it a lot in the paranormal news lately, and a lot of people are talking about it. Phenomenal job here, especially with the graphics. I think the graphics really make it what it is. So hoping I could share that in the chat room here, and we're going to do my best job real quick here. Stall for time. We're going to put that in the chat room. So again, that's one of the added benefits, one of the perks of listening live and being live in the chat room. These awesome pictures and fantastic links. For some reason, it just doesn't. Oh, there it goes. Success. Yay. There it is, folks. In all of its glory. If you're in the chat room, you can click on that picture. It'll get a little bit bigger. It's pretty cool. It's pretty scary. And also put the link to that story in the chat room as well. You can read it and see each individual creature. And don't worry. It's kind of teasing you guys all along. If you're not able to listen live, I will post these links throughout the week. So don't worry. Be happy, because you're going to see this stuff during the week on my social media outlets. Facebook, Facebook.com/ParanewsInsider and on Twitter at Paranews Insider. So fear not. And check out your biggest beast of your state, if I didn't mention it. And we're going to move to UFO news. California. Yes, Tupac's home is generally the number one state when it comes to UFO sightings each month with MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, which I generally talk about their sightings. This is primarily since it's the number one state in the U.S. as far as population. But one UFO sighting got the attention of a lot of people in California, primarily in the Los Angeles area. On the evening of Wednesday, March 20th, a slow-moving fireball got the attention of a lot of people who quickly took to social media to see if anyone else was seeing it. I mean, what else would you do? Go on social media. That's what everyone does. Someone's getting in a fight, put it on social media, take pictures. Many speculated it was just Hollywood being Hollywood and was no big deal, of course. Why? Why would it be? Some were wondering if it was a large meteor and about to land in Los Angeles, or if there was an alien invasion currently underway. Well, the truth was, it was a little bit in between all that. It was actually a stunt by the energy drink Red Bull. Not the first time they've done something like this. Red Bull put out a press release once the LAPD reassured the public and calmed down the rioting that everything was okay in the skies over California. So Red Bull did the jump from helicopters about 4,000 feet up. And the reason for that, well, they were celebrating the third and final full moon, super moon of the year that took place that night. What else would you celebrate by scaring the crap out of people, by scary streaming smoky lights in the sky, unannounced, over one of the most populated areas in Southern California? Why would you not? Well, the skydivers, yes, they were wearing wingsuits, LEDs, and sparklers, just to be sure that somebody noticed. And they did. A lot of people calling 911 and newspapers and, of course, putting it on social media. But it wasn't real. What was real? It just wasn't UFOs. What was UFOs at the time? Because you couldn't identify what they were. Sneaky. Yeah, free publicity. Everyone's saying Red Bull, the original energy drink, by the way. Not that I drink them. Anyway, I did mention MUFON sighting statistics, and this week I do have the numbers for February. I know it's already April, but the numbers are crunched for March. I just haven't had them yet, and I'm 2 weeks behind on the show, so February. And you would think that historically February would probably be the worst month for UFO sightings, since it's winter in the Northern Hemisphere. It's the shortest month of the year. People are inside, so on and so forth. The weather's usually really bad. But it's generally a decent month for numbers, believe it or not. It's usually, I think March is usually one of the lowest ones, believe it or not. Historically, looking back, I only had the last 4 years in front of me, but they're not really all that exciting. February's not the worst month. Let's see. Well, in 2015, it actually was. Spoke too soon. Granted, that month, or that year took off because of Hangar One, the TV show. But in 2016, looks like June was actually the lowest month. Believe it or not. Nope, I take that back. December was the shortest, lowest month of sightings overall. 500, nope, take that back. That was my guesses. Those are my guesses I was reading. So that was, 534... 561, yep, would be November. It was actually the lowest month with 534. February had 611. That's pretty good. But this year, the month of February, they announced that MUFON had a total of 572 worldwide sightings. Now, the United States had the most with 392. So 572, let's put that. Let's look at the other years. Much lower than 2015 at 607. February of 2016 was 611. 2017 was 527. And last year was 548 total. 548 total. So 572. I guess it's kind of in the ballpark. The United States, again, had the most with 392. And of the other countries, United Kingdom, friends over there, you guys were next with 50. Canada, our hat to the north, they had 41. Yes, I call them a hat. They're friendly folks. Friendly folks. Great, great, great country. France turned in 13. The Netherlands had 6, and Australia, down under, they had 5. And there was another 40 countries that turned in 4 or less reports. That's not very many. 25 of those 40 only turned in 1 report each. Of the 50 states here in the United States, California was number 1 with 50. Just like I said. Florida was next with 26. Pennsylvania had 19. Texas, Arizona, they both had 17 each. Missouri, Ohio, and New York each had 15. Georgia had 13. Illinois and Oregon had 12 each. Michigan had 11. And New Jersey, Washington State, and New Mexico turned in 10 reports each. And I like to do the kind of the per capita, if you will, of the states. So saying how many they had is impressive. But each state has a different amount of people that live in it, different population. So what I do is take the number of sightings, you divide the population, and you multiply it by whatever your per capita is. And generally, per capita is usually about per 100,000, depends on the metric that you're talking about. So I use that, and it comes up with a fraction. It's not very, meaningful, but at least it kind of provides a little bit of, dare I say, science to these statistics. It's kind of loosely worded because these sightings, just because they're recorded in this month of February, doesn't mean they actually happened then, and doesn't mean that there wasn't a logical explanation for these. Doesn't mean that these weren't hoaxes or just made up accounts, or somebody was really, really drunk and put in a post. These are all of the things that end up in their database. So anyway, California, they had the most sightings at 50, but if you take them into consideration, being number one in state population, their per capita number is a 0.126. So looking at Missouri, a good example here, Missouri is 18th in state population. They had only 15 sightings. But again, 18th in population, so their per capita number was 0.245. Much higher, almost double of California with less sightings. So more people per capita saw reported UFOs to MUFON in Missouri. We'd move to Oregon, number 27 in state population. They had 12 sightings, 0.286. New Hampshire with their number 41 in state population. They only had 4 sightings, but they had a 0.295. So a third of a person. A third of a person, roughly. Per 100,000 people. Vermont, number 50. Dead last. State population numbers. they had a whopping 2 sightings. But that does give them a 0.319 per capita. Maine, the 42nd state in state population, they had 6 sightings, which is pretty good for them. 0.448 per capita. So almost a half a person per 100,000 people. Well, 1 in 200,000, I guess you could say. New Mexico, the winner this month. Number 36 in state population, they had 10 sightings reported for a 0.477. Congratulations, New Mexico. You've won nothing. Nothing. But anyway, that's your MUFON sighting statistics for the month of February. And that is your show for this week. And we do have some little more serious stories coming next week. It was a tongue-in-cheek week here with the April Fool's Day yesterday and just kind of getting back into the mix of things and the multitude of stories that I went through from the course of the last almost month, it seems like, trying to figure out what I was going to talk about, just kind of throwing it all out the window just to talk about April Fool's Day and some of the less serious stuff. We kind of have to roll back a little bit every now and again. Anyway, we'll talk Loch Ness Monster next week. I believe it was the fourth 2019 appearance, and I really want to talk about this story that's been lingering in the news for weeks, and it's still being put out as new news for some reason about this professor that thinks that UFOs are time machines from the future. So we'll hit on that next week, but for now, I will see you next week. And keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck. And always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.